You're listening to Additives Included
with Sean
and David.
I have ADHD.
And David.
More.
Additives.
More. Hello, creepy crawlers.
Hey, welcome back to
Additives Included.
You forgot what show we do, I guess.
No, I was going to say welcome back to October month.
Oh, it's October month here in October.
We're going to talk about some urban legends from around Michigan.
Sounds good. This website's got plenty.
Yeah, there was 20 Michigan urban legends. These are all, I believe, on the 99.1 WFMK website. The article I'm looking at right now was updated April 30th of 2020.
How do you spell WFMK?
With a keyboard.
Oh, good. Good job on that one. I like that.
All right.
Or pen and pencil or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we like your voice so much, Faye, we're going to put you on the spot and have you read your first one.
Ooh. Oh, good thing I'm ready. All right.
She's always ready.
Oh.
Goodness.
It's because it's Sean. Oh, wait. Did we even do it? We skipped that. I'm David.
And I'm Sean.
I'm
Faye.
Faye. Woo. Okay, now we're going.
And if you don't know me by now, you will
never know me. Ooh.
No, you won't.
All right, that's enough of that shit.
Yeah, I know. It made me constantly.
Go ahead, Faye Bay.
All right. So we're on the same website, 99.1 WFMK. So the story I picked is The Ghost of Baker Road, Montcalm County, Michigan.
Who wrote the story?
Written by John Robinson.
Hey, so is mine.
It was published February 5th, 2021.
Yeah. Is he related to Mrs. Robinson?
I'm sure. Sure of it. All right, here's another haunted Michigan road for you to check out.
I think these are all John Robinson, actually.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Mine is, too. Okay, sorry, Faye.
This one is on Baker Road, south of Greenville in Eureka Township, Montcalm County.
Eureka!
The urban legend says that one night, a teenage girl was walking down the road. The road had many twists, turns, curves, and unseen driveways, so it's definitely hard for a motorist to see someone walking along the road, especially if they're not wearing light clothing. Sure enough, the young girl was unnoticed by a driver, hit and killed. Since then, people who have driven that road at night claim to have seen a female apparition floating down the road. Not just a ghostly figure, but odd orbs and flickering lights are seen along the roadside. This urban legend has been around Eureka Township for many years, and the girl's name has been lost to history. As with any attempt to find ghosts, it's a turkey shoot. You may or may not experience any activity. There are a couple of main parts to Baker Road. The one with the twists and turns is the West Fork at the junction of Baker and Johnson Roads. Take a drive down Baker Road some dark night and see if you experience anything. Just respect the residents and don't be obnoxious. There are some pictures, too, that show the location
on
this.
What county is that?
Berrien County.
Montcalm County.
Whatever. Montcalm, Berrien, whatever.
Macomb?
I said Berrien because that's where mine is at.
Oh, I think it's Montcalm County.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
I don't know.
Not everybody needs your comb. All right.
It doesn't. It. I don't think we're reading the same word.
Oh.
Well, we also didn't get an education from the same school, or at least the same.
Wait, you're on that hub website, aren't you?
Porn?
I'm on the wrong. Hold on. Okay.
No, and that's pronounced not comb.
You guys are bad. Okay. A bad influence. Mm-hmm. I'm the good one.
That one wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. But
We will preface this by saying that these are just Michigan urban legends that none of us have read before and probably don't even know. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of them that are familiar. I'm just going to go ahead and go into the child ghosts of Munchkinland Cemetery, Berrien County, Michigan.
We represent the Munchie.
The Munchie.
The lollipop kid. The lollipop kid. The lollipop kid.
Anyway.
Hey, so. God, Faye, you're so weird.
I know.
I can't believe you would make
Faye,
those
okay.
noises.
Me and Sean both nailed the Munchkin voices.
Yeah.
She Where's yours?
She doesn't do
there
voices.
There was nothing I needed to do.
Listen, the only voice that she does is Angry Mom. So
angry mom,
yeah,
yeah. Apparently, that's a thing.
You wouldn't like her when she's angry.
That's my kids.
She turns green.
All right. The Franklin Church was constructed in 1855 and still stands to this day.
That's pretty old.
The church and its accompanying yeah, that word cemetery can be found at the junction of Franklin Brush Lake Road and Frost Road out in the countryside, just east of Booth Lake and Curtis Lake. It's north of Niles and east of Eau Claire in Berrien County. Like EAU. Is that you? I don't know.
I would say Eau Claire.
Okay.
Is
it Eau Claire?
Has it got chocolate on it?
I got donuts on my mind. All right, people who have gone there tell others not to go alone, as cell phones have a habit of not working in that area.
Hey.
The graveyard has been called Frost Cemetery, Franklin Church Cemetery, and Munchkin Land. The nickname Munchkin Land is probably the most curious name this place has. Why is it called Munchkin Land? Because of the many children's spirits that have been seen among the tombstones. The legend that began in the late 1800s says the church's pastor murdered two small girls and buried them in the woods behind the church. Time went by and the crime went unsolved until, little by little, members of the congregation started putting two and two together and figured out the truth. Realizing this crime had been discovered, the pastor went up to the church bell tower and hung himself. After a search that lasted a few days, his body was finally discovered. There had been other child murders in the area, and the townspeople assumed they were also committed by the pastor. Since then, there have been numerous sightings of childlike ghosts through the woods and hiding around the old gravestones. The eerie sounds of children giggling and little girls whispering have been heard coming from inside the cemetery grounds.
Oh my.
There's also a tombstone that glows a faint green color.
That's a pretty creeper one right here.
If you visit Munchkin Land, be respectful, don't vandalize, litter, or be noisy and obnoxious. Obey any no trespassing signs that may be posted. And then, just like the other, there are pictures of the church. It says Franklin Church, 1854. There's a picture inside the church, a couple from outside the church. Picture of the Munchkin Land Cemetery. Then it actually kind of gives you like a Google Maps view of where the church is and like the lakes around it, Curtis Lake and Booth Lake.
So it's like Munchkin. It's not a fun Munchkin Land. It's talking about Munchkins like, oh yeah, my little Munchkin's at home.
Right. Right. That's like messed up. Kids, yeah. And then there's a pin drop of where the Franklin Church is. Bitches. So yeah, that's that story. It's like, holy crap.
I'm going to dig him up and freaking beat his ass. I'm like, fucking evil fuckers. The first one that I picked
says this is possibly the all-time creepiest Michigan haunting. Oh, it's the old hag. That's right. Now I remember. I've written hundreds of posts about haunted locations throughout Michigan. And believe me, there are many more. Because of these, I've had numerous people ask me what I feel is the creepiest urban legend or haunted tale in the state. There are notorious haunted locations like Pier Chaney, called the most haunted town in the state, the Traverse City Asylum, Hatchet Man Road, Crybaby Bridge. Oh, those sound interesting. Endless cemeteries, etc. The typical haunting involves noises, things moving on their own, footsteps, whispers. We know about that stuff, fellas. Cold spots and occasional encounter and or sighting of a real apparition. But one of these hauntings that really stands out in my mind is a tale that has been around since the early 1960s, the Horrible Hag of Detroit. Oh, it's in Detroit. Of course it would be.
Stupid-ass hags from Detroit.
Yeah, man, there's still hags in Detroit right now. We ain't got to go far to find them.
There's hags everywhere.
Alternately referred to as the Demon of Detroit. Really? One and the same, huh? Demon, hag, whatever. They shouldn't be the same thing. But according to MortaCityBlog.blogspot.com, there was a family by the name of Adams that moved into a house on Martin Street.
So it was the Adams family?
Yeah, exactly. And they moved into the Steve Martin Street. This house had a back bedroom that was so small it only had room for a bed and a makeshift closet. The father worked third shift at the nearby Cadillac plant and would come home and sleep in the back room so he wouldn't be disturbed. However, his children and the family dog soon sensed that there was something else occupying the back room. The dog would absolutely not go into the room, and the kids avoided the area altogether, which explains why the dad went back there to not be bugged by the kids. Adams soon began having grotesque nightmares from sleeping in that room. He was quoted in the Detroit Free Press from saying, "The dreams would leave me limp with fear."
Fear?
because they were so real. I would find myself sitting in the bed screaming till my throat was sore. Well, maybe get the fuck out of the bed. One of the dreams was when I found myself opening a door and a mutilated body fell out.
What? Oh,
wow.
Really?
That's not a good dream.
No. And then you catch him in your arms and you're like, "Frank, wake up. Speak to me." His head falls off.
Stupid ass Frank.
God damn it. Wake up. Ruining my nightmare.
You couldn't even die the right way. Like,
Frank always sucked at it. He lost his damn job and he's doing my nightmare wrong. When the nightmares would not stop, he went back to sleeping in the master bedroom because he said, "Fuck that shit." After his bad dreams ceased, he realized that something in the back room was causing his ghastly nightmares. Granny Adams came up from Georgia to stay with the family in 1962, and the family put her up in the back room because they didn't like her.
No shit. What assholes. Wow. Like, hey, we know this room is really fucked up. We're going to put, hey, Granny, let's see if the spirits don't like you, too.
The woman responsible for creating the whole family
the matriarch of the family. They're like,
she got casted out.
Like, fuck to this demon. Bitch. Fuck this bitch. You can go sleep with the haunted. They're in the haunted room.
Not cool, man.
What a dick. That was such a dick move.
After continuously experiencing weird noises and uneasiness, Granny packed up and went back to Georgia because
no shit. Family no shit.
Wow. I like weird words like this on names. The Adamses. The Adamses had another guest. Or another guest visit. An old family friend from Georgia. So everybody must be from Georgia back then, I guess.
I guess so.
Well, the devil went down to Georgia.
He was looking for a soul to steal.
Fuck!
All he had to do was come back to Michigan.
Go to Detroit.
He bet a fiddle of gold against his soul.
Yeah, at least the Lions are good now. They decided not to tell... Motherfucker.
What the hell?
I can't even read this one as scary because it's just like, you guys are a bunch of assholes.
Right. Man. It's like, we're gonna conduct these experiments on our family and our close friends and see if they're experiencing the same things that I was experiencing that made me want to kill myself. And
no shit. They decided not to tell him about the happenings in the back room and put him there as kind of a test. Oh my God, Sean called it.
Jesus.
Wow. What do you mean a test? Like, this will be fun. Watch this. He was in the bed for only a few minutes, laying on his side, facing the wall, and he felt something roll over him. Mm-mm. He quoted... saying, it rolled over me, and then I saw it standing outside the bedroom door. At first, I thought it was Mrs. Adams trying to come on to me or something.
Hey,
but
hey. Sometimes if you can't come in, you gotta come on.
Whoa, hey, and we're back. But I started to tremble. It was with a excitement. Woman with long hair, and she had her back to me, looking into the kitchen because she knew that's where she belonged.
What an asshole.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that's my words or his.
He didn't say that she was barefoot and pregnant or anything.
She was wearing short fur coat. And kind of a blue dress.
Are you making this up or really reading this?
I'm reading half and half.
No, oh, this like, is what, the real
you're
part.
You're like, what an asshole. And that was David.
That was words.
Totally David being an asshole. Right.
I thought so.
Because that's where she belongs.
Make me a sandwich, ghost bitch.
Okay, carry on.
Carry on, my wayward son.
After screaming and running out of the room, he ran into Mrs. Adams in the kitchen because that's where she belonged to, and began telling her what happened. Before he could finish, they both witnessed a rancid odor, and it wasn't Mrs. Adams. A terrible wailing, mournful, half-human, half-animal sound that left both of them speechless with fright. Wow.
Sounds like a terrible orgasm.
So a bunch of smell and a bunch of weird noises. Miss Adams needs to...
They're just telling everybody that they saw a ghost to cover up the affair.
Yeah, that might be what we're experiencing here. When Mr. Adams got home from work, the two told him what happened because they didn't want him to know the truth. Now he had enough. He was determined to stay in that room again and defeat whatever was there once and for all. Really, dude? What are you going to do?
He's going to get the ghost pregnant.
You ain't Blade. You ain't Wesley Snipes.
The ghost is going to give birth to Casper.
Hey, he was nice, though. He was a friendly ghost.
After lying down.
Because he knew what a cunt his mom was.
At least she was in the kitchen. After lying down in bed, he sensed a presence but thought his wife was still in the room. According to Mr. Adams, the face was inches away from me. It was the most horrible thing I've ever seen.
Oh, or Jesus. Made out with.
Yeah. The eyes stared past me and the mouth moved to talk, but only a hissing sound came out and then a terrible stench because that bitch didn't brush. An hour later, in the house was empty as the Adamses got the heck out of there for good. Curious relatives of the Adamses who attempted to investigate this for themselves ended up hearing unimaginable groaning but refused to disclose what exactly they seen in there. Paranormal investigators attempted to find out what was going on, but the owner slash landlord of the house absolutely refused to let them investigate further. It has never been determined why this horrible hag haunts the back bedroom of the particular of this particular house. A few years ago, someone bought the house. I wonder if they're still there. And I have a theory on this already. What are you guys pointing at?
Nothing. There's a horrible hag behind you.
Fuck, dude. You just gave me goosebumps on my fucking shit, man. My theory is, if it's a horrible hag and it's a small bedroom that's in the back, somebody had an old sick relative like the grandma that they brought up from Georgia, and they left her out there to do... What are you guys doing?
You saw that too, right? Come on.
No, the, I'm like no, staring, looking, because I don't know what you're talking about.
The light upstairs in the attic just came on. It's been off the whole time.
No, it came on earlier.
Okay.
It must have turned off.
Well, it just turned back on, and that's weird.
Don't start. I'm not doing this no more.
Finish your hag story.
Blah! No, that was it.
Oh, okay.
That's why I went into my theory.
Oh, your theory. Oh. I stopped listening because okay. I saw the light come on, and I was like,
eh. It was like an old lady that they just put back there, and she probably got ignored or abused, and that's what I think. But anyways, moving on, because
someone bought the house, and that was that?
Yep. Oh. That's how it says.
Wow. Hmm. Boy.
We should go visit the house. See who lives there. Be like, hey, does anybody sleep in the back bedroom?
Fuck that.
Alright, this one is one of Michigan's top haunted sites, Seven Gables Road. This haunted Michigan legend pops up every so often. And here we go again. With Halloween coming up, the tale of Seven Gables Road rears its head once more, and it's time to revisit. Seven Gables Road near Dansville is said to be one of Michigan's most haunted roads, right up there with Hatchet Man Road.
Not to mention that that's really close to where we are right now.
Yeah, where I was reading where it's at, I'm like, oh, that's not far at all.
Wait, that's the one. Is this the
one you're talking about?
This is the road I was talking about.
Listen.
Yeah.
All
right. Listen.
There's a story about it.
Listen,
real
Linda.
Quick, my mom, two sisters and niece went to this place to do ghost hunting. Okay.
Okay. So this cool legendary mid-Michigan haunted location is frequented by amateur ghost hunters.
Stop! Gucci hunters.
That's Gucci, yo.
All right, ghost hunters, amateur ones. Paranormal investigators, TV crews, newspaper reporters, thrill seekers, and even senior citizens who go there for daytime walks. All right.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why. All right.
Well,
the videos.
They're going to get away on their walkers real quick.
Yeah.
Right? The visitors brought back by many visitors usually only contain footage of walking up and down the road or getting scared of if a twig snaps or faking seeing or hearing something. You know, there are animals in the woods and bushes who make noises when humans are near.
That's true.
So Seven Gables Road is less than a mile long off Dexter Trail, south of Dansville and east of Mason in Ingham County. It dead ends thanks to a gate that prevents anyone from driving further to where the grisly events were supposed to have taken place. Mm-hmm. But of course, everyone goes past the gate to take the walk. So here's the legend. At the end of Seven Gables Road, there used to be a creepy, many-gabled old house that was occupied by a woman who was said to practice witchcraft. She must have been shunned and outcast by the community, for she laid a curse on the road, her house, and the land she lived on.
She's a witch! I'm not a witch! I'm your wife! Same
thing! 25 years after she passed away, a family moved into the house. The father began acting strange, as if possessed by unseen evil forces or engulfed with madness.
Or his ex-wife.
His insanity drove him to kill his entire family and then hanged each one from each gable on the house.
What?
He then set the house on fire and hung himself as well.
I know another story about this at in a different state. The guy did the same shit.
Wow.
Well, must be a thing, huh?
Nowadays, the land is believed by many to be haunted with a curse. If you dare to enter the land and should hear a scream, you better get out of there or you will soon die. Some of those who have investigated the property at night say they saw the face and or head of a little girl in the trees. Others hear faint screams, witness a child standing off in the shadows, heavy breathing, and more. Another claimed to be choked by an invisible hand, and many visitors are said to have drowned in a hidden pond or swamp that is on the way to the ruins of the old house. Some say they have smelled burning flesh.
Ew. Wow. How do they know what burning flesh smells like?
Everybody's cooked burger. They're like, they get hungry. Jeez.
The thing is, there are no more ruins. There are some remnants of some kind of foundation, like a stone pillar or maybe where a chimney was, and even a hole that may have been a well. But so far, nothing else has been found of the old house. Many believe the place is haunted. Many others say it's all a load of BS. I'm still waiting to see some legitimate video footage or photos of the house foundation or anything else out of the ordinary on the road.
Interesting.
There doesn't seem to be any no trespassing signs, so it appears you are free to roam and investigate the area. If you do, be respectful of others who live nearby and be considerate of the land. And if you hear a scream, leave fast.
I think we should go investigate tonight. I mean,
I'm good.
There was a full moon last night.
No.
Well,
no, thank you.
I'm just saying a full moon, it means it's brighter outside so we can see better.
No.
Let me tell you what they experienced, though, is they went to the gate. They didn't go any further because they didn't want to. My sister's terrified of the woods, as we heard in a previous episode.
Yeah, she's like, fuck that.
So she's like, yeah, let's go ghost hunting, but I don't want to be around any trees. But the next morning I seen her, and I said, how'd it go? Did you get anything on camera? And she said, yeah, right when I got there, I started recording, and my camera stopped working. The battery died, and I charged it before I left. And then, so she was mad because she said, I forgot to bring my charger cord up. And then I went to my house to see if I could find an adapter or whatever. And then when I got back, I'm like, I couldn't find one that fit
And I'm like, let me see if it turns on. And I turned on the camera, and it was full battery, and the camera worked fine. I went through and tested all the functions on it and everything. And there was nothing wrong with it. It just stopped working when they got there to the gate.
It's kind of crazy. I'd like to...
Yeah, there's no footage.
I honestly, it would be kind of interesting to go there and see.
It would, but I don't want to.
Right. It's off Dexter Trail.
It's not that far, Dave.
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes from here.
Not even.
No.
Like 10.
It's like 20 minutes to Danceville from here.
Mm-hmm.
Where this place is at, it's 10, 15 minutes.
Isn't it crazy how, like, our location, how close we are to so many weird places?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is nuts, dude. We're just going to turn this into a scary channel. That's a scary podcast. That's how we're doing.
There's another... All right, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's another story on here that sounded kind of crazy, but I don't know if you guys picked it or not. Probably not.
Well, maybe we'll come back around to you if we got a little more time. I went ahead and went to the next one on the list after the Munchkin Land one. Mm-hmm. The Haunting of Dunn's Tomb in Oakland County.
What is this? I have not heard of this one.
I haven't either. That's why I went to it.
Oh.
The Legend of Dunn's Tomb is one of Michigan's most intriguing haunted tales and one of the area's best known spook stories. The tomb in question is a mausoleum found in Lakeview Cemetery, 1.5 miles northeast of Lakeville, in the upper right-hand corner of Oakland County. Inside the tomb are the bodies of James and Elizabeth Dunn, who ran a local sawmill in the early 1890s. James passed away in 1930, Elizabeth in 1952. Now you may think it's the spirits of the Dunns that haunt the tomb. Well, keep reading. There are three urban legends about this mausoleum. Legend 1. Many years ago, a teenage boy and girl were dared to spend the night in the tomb. To prove their courage, they agreed. So one night, a friend who owned a black car dropped them off at the mausoleum and left, agreeing to pick them up the next morning. When the friend in the black car came back the next morning, he discovered the bodies of his two friends who died under mysterious, unknown circumstances. So nowadays, if you drive a black car to the cemetery, get out and put your hands on the Dunn's tomb, two smoky apparitions will appear and attempt to approach your car.
Wow.
You know, the funny thing about that is there was actually stories like that of the cemetery down the road from our house growing up. The mausoleum that was there, they're like, you gotta spend the night at the mausoleum and blah, blah, blah. So, I have heard a similar story to that.
In Evergreen?
At Mount Evergreen. Mm. The mausoleum there. So, that's kind of crazy, but okay. Legend 2. A man who paid a visit to the tomb, possibly a friend or family member paying respects, somehow got locked inside. Stuck inside overnight, he panicked, went crazy, and killed himself. Since then, anyone who dares to even touch the mausoleum will return to the vehicle and find mysterious handprints all over it.
Oh.
Oh.
Hmm.
That's not cool.
No, but I feel like we need to test some of this stuff.
Have fun, man.
I mean...
I'm good.
Okay. Well, Shelby and I'll go because...
Yeah, she'll do it.
She's not scared. Legend 3. An axe-wielding serial killer would slaughter his victims and store the bodies inside Dunn's tomb. So which is true? All or none? Even hard to believe urban legends are based on some kind of fact, so who knows? Lakeville Cemetery is located at 825... Drahner Road. That's Drahner Road for any of you guys that are listening that want to go check it out. This is a designated Michigan historic site. Its marker reads, in 1843, Addison Township settler Ernest Mann donated 1 acre of land to the local community for use as a cemetery. The cemetery has since expanded to more than 11 acres. Among the first to be buried here was Private Derek Hulick, a veteran of the American Revolution who enlisted in the New Jersey militia in June 1776. The Lakeville Cemetery Auxiliary was established in 1910 to maintain the cemetery and preserve its history. Seek permission if you want to investigate after hours. Protect yourself and don't ruin it for other visitors. Be respectful and obey all posted hours and rules. So then there's some pictures of Dunn's tomb.
So you're saying you actually want to go to this place?
I mean...
Face sure. Shaking her head. Nope. Uh-uh.
Why not? Listen, we used to go sledding in the cemetery when I was a kid, so...
Yeah, we didn't think anything of it, though.
We rode our bikes exactly. through there.
Yeah.
All the time. It's actually... Like, later in life, as one of my summer jobs, I was... mowing the grass in that same cemetery. So yeah. not the one that we just talked about, the one that was down the road from our houses mm-hmm. when we were growing up.
And we say down the road, we mean like
it was a block and a half away. Yeah. It was a city block and a half away from our house. Yeah. It was really only a block away from mine. It was a block and a half away from the Sheldon house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There were some steep hills in that cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Really fun ones.
There's really good for sledding. So there was one hill in the Mount Evergreen Cemetery that didn't have any tombstones on it because there was a big tunnel underneath, which is where they used to keep a bunch of the
equipment
like the mowers and different stuff to maintain the Hill 66 was where they kept all that stuff. So that's why it was the perfect sledding hill.
And I think, well, at least the way that I remember finding out is one time when we were there, we actually seen one of the maintenance guys moving stuff in and out.
Yeah.
You remember that? The grounds guy? But at first I'm like, because I was a chicken shit kid.
It's a ghost.
Yeah, you were.
I mean, and then, so I'm like, Sean, like, there's a guy down there, like, we should go. And he's like, Sean's like, we can be here. It's okay. It's not illegal. We're not doing anything illegal to be here. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Oh, this guy's going to yell at us.
Which, anymore, you probably don't want to be there because it's really, that cemetery in particular has become a high crime area.
Shocker.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I was, it was one of the first times I was actually mowing in that cemetery. Came across a mobile meth lab. I was like, "Oh, that's fun!"
Wow.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Place really went downhill when they started tipping over tombstones.
That giant hill really went downhill.
Jeez. And fast.
All right, my story that I picked, I actually went with something different because I realized that I have been in this place.
Hmm.
It's called The Urban Legend That Came True.
I was looking at that one. I almost read that one.
So, an urban legend that came true in Sparta, Michigan. Now, our previous guest with the deer hunting episode, Jeremy, I was there with him and his family. Sparta used to, and may still have, rodeos. And his mom and dad were very very into the Western, you know, the cowboy and the horse scene. So, you know, I was a poser and had a great time, and they just threw a bunch of clothes on me, and we got some cowboy hats, and I went around and pretended like I was a cowboy, even though I was a city slicker.
I remember seeing all those pictures.
Yeah.
It was really kind of funny.
But it was a good time there, though. But yeah, so they had like a rodeo that would go like all week, and you would just camp out and hang out and go to the rodeo and stink like shit because you had nowhere to shower. So I'll start reading. This one's also John Robinson, which I think this whole list is from. There's a urban legend that goes around every so often about Halloween, a Halloween display that actually features a dead body. This unfortunately came true back in 2001. Wow, that's right around the time... What the fuck?
That you were there.
Yeah. What? Maybe no, I think you. I was there around 2000. I want to say maybe 2002, 2003 or something. So very recently after this. Hosting any kind of scary or Halloween attraction this year. 14-year-old Caleb Reb, R-E-B-H, volunteered to be part of a haunted hayride attraction at Alpine Ridge Farms in Sparta. They already had enough people, but he was intent on being involved. He told the owners that he would do it for free as long as they let him work the hayride. They put Caleb at a post with a coffin, but it didn't really give him much to do except shout out boo at customers.
That's terrible.
Unsatisfied with David's boo performance, Sean sat back in his chair.
Boo.
Boo.
That's the most October month thing you could have said.
Dude, I added to it, man. That was flavor, baby. He talked to another worker, or he talked another worker into switching posts with him. This time, Caleb was hosting a skeleton hanging from a tree by a noose. Still wanting to go a step further, he thought it would be scarier if the noose was around his own neck, because he's smart. No disrespect, sorry.
Why did I like automatically go there and think that he was like, oh, I'm just going to put it around my own neck?
It'll yeah, that is not a good idea, dude. He pulled the tree branch down. He took the noose off the skeleton and put it around his own neck. Unworried, since his feet were still able to touch the ground, he let go of the branch. But Caleb wasn't heavy enough to keep the branch from springing up and choking him.
What? Wow.
The noose tightened and began to suffocate him. As he desperately attempted to get the noose off of his neck, customers and workers watched, thinking it was all part of an act or a prank on everyone. After it was too late, hayride employees and visitors attempted to resuscitate him, but it was too late. Probably way too late. He was pronounced dead. His father, according to Washington Post, said to have people right there watching him die, choking to death, and not do anything. I don't know if I can ever get over that. They just thought he was doing his scene, but he wasn't doing his scene. He was dying. Oh, it ends right there.
Wow.
I had a feeling that's where that story was going to go.
So that's near Grand Rapids. It's just north of Grand Rapids out in the country. Wow. That one's kind of depressing, though.
Like, yeah, so... Jeez.
He was just trying to make the show more entertaining for people, and he just didn't expect the branch to... go higher like it did. He figured, oh, well, I'm touching, it's fine.
Well, I mean, even if he weighed enough to keep the branch down, there's still going to be that tension against it.
Yeah, so you should never put anything around your neck. Even be careful when you put on a tie for church on Sunday. Yeah,
I mean, unless you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, those people...
Still don't do it. That's stupid.
That's risky.
That's a risky business.
Yeah. Tom Cruise style. But that was, I think that was really fun. I like the whole scary story. I think we picked some good ones. Yeah. And there's lots more too, so if we wanted to, we could go back and do more.
Yeah, there's good October month stuff. Man, did you... I just heard some screaming, and I swear it's the Munchkin Land Cemetery, man. You got to be careful.
It's definitely not all of our crazy kids in the house right now.
Just one.
No.
In my defense, mine's younger. But yes, he does have a scream, man. His nickname is Banshee.
Nice. They're having fun.
Yeah, they're having a good time. We're having a good time.
He was adding a scream in for October month.
Yeah. I wonder if everybody else would be like, October month, what the fuck?
It's a thing.
What kind of wording is that?
It's a thing.
Welcome to October month.
You made it a thing.
Yeah. Just kind
of. Faye, give me one more of those. Hell yeah.
No, don't do it.
Do it. What?
No.
Don't talk like that.
You got the wrong sister.
Faye, you're from the streets.
Like, right.
Look at that hoodie. That screams streets.
Great Smoky Mountains.
I don't think there's streets in
the mountains. COVID?
We might have killed David.
Oh, there's a bear on it. There's a picture of a fucking bear in.
There's a picture of a bear on it.
Well, Chicago bears. That's the streets. What does this have to do with Halloween?
Chicago bears are weak sauce.
All right, we're going to wrap this one up. Sean, you want to take us out?
To the ball game?
For dinner. At 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah, not quite. Anyhow, yeah, so thanks for tuning in for another episode of Additives Included. We are thankful to have each and every one of our listeners. Please go ahead and share our content with your friends. And
follow us on Facebook.
Follow us on Facebook, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
You probably hear Munchkin screaming in the background.
Munchkin Land Cemeteries. So we'll continue the October month series. probably have two or three more episodes of this type of content.
Faye, right. Don't give me that look.
What?
Faye, we got to start recording our episodes, dude, just so you can see Faye's expressions that right. She gives us this whole time.
All right, Munchkin Lands are coming alive and heading out here. So we're going to power this one off, and we'll catch you guys on, we'll catch you on the flip side. We'll the next episode.
You're
you
know? Listening right. To
look yeah. Behind you.
No, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to. What the fuck is that?
Dude, shut off again.
I had ADHD.
I know. I told you that light keeps going on and off.
The attic light in the garage studio is going off and on this whole time.
I'm telling you.
Dude, all right. Let's get out of here and go to bed.
All right, bye.